Welcome back, everyone, to Campfire Tales. Tonight, we have a horrifying story about two individuals who went hiking in southern Colorado and have a terrifying experience. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss tonight's episode. If you like true and creepypasta scary stories, make sure to subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up. Now, let's get spooky. My friend Samantha and I were so excited to take a trip together to go hiking somewhere further than home. We had been talking about it since we graduated college a few years back and finally found the time. Well, she always had the time. It was mainly me that had trouble balancing work and anything else. Looking back now, I wish I had spent more of this trip focusing on Sam, the scenery, and being present in the moment. I wish I had been a better friend. Sam was the most excited for our trip. The week before we left, she was texting me about restaurants in the area, stuff to do. She even made a Spotify playlist with both of our favorites, so we could listen to 7 hours worth of mixes of classic rock, pop, and black metal, and marking trailheads that we might enjoy on her Google Maps app. I felt bad for putting the trip off for so long. We got to catch up, explore, try new food. We had a great trip. That was until our final hike. We were both in decent shape, and since we had supplies and plenty of daylight, we decided we were going to try a longer, unpaved trail that was around this beautiful lake. It was the last hike of our trip, and we decided to take a more difficult and less crowded trail. Initially, it was a wonderful hike. The water was such a surreal shade of blue, and the pine trees and rolling hills were breathtaking. The air was thinner than what we were used to, but it was so refreshing. As we hiked around one bend, I almost ran right into Sam's back. I had been falling behind, focusing on placing my feet in exactly the right locations in the soft dirt, so I didn't go sliding down about 20 feet down to the shore. Sam stood frozen, a deer in front of her blocking the trail. As I approached with my backpack jingling and breathing heavily, the deer stood for a moment more, tilting its head sideways at me before darting back into the pines. She looked back at me, her face tight. "Did you see that?" "The deer? Yeah, it was pretty magical." She gave me a slight giggle as she started up again, so we could both move on to the section of the trail that had sturdier footing. "No, I mean, something was wrong with that deer. It was way too comfortable around me, and I didn't know if you could see or hear it, but it was drooling and making these weird sounds." We continued on in silence after that as we focused on our footing and the scenery, stopping every so often to take pictures. One time when we stopped, we heard rustling off to our right, higher up on the hill. I got the bear spray out and held on to it. It seemed to be walking parallel to us, roughly matching our pace. It sounded big, too. Eventually, the hiking trail rose to meet the higher part of the hill, and I couldn't help but sigh in relief. I had been so worried that I'd roll my ankle and tumble down the mountain, so it was good to have more room so I wasn't walking at the edge. Back in college, I had sprained my ankle badly, but couldn't afford to see a doctor. It healed a bit oddly, and since then, my left ankle has been a little iffy. After a while, I needed to sit for a moment. Walking uphill for an hour in addition to the 6,500-foot elevation, I was struggling. Maybe I'm also a bit out of shape than I had been willing to admit to. Sam sat with me for a moment, but then saw some wildflowers about 10 feet away into the woods and left me to go take a quick picture. With her gone, I felt a sudden chill. Something was watching me. Sam? I called out nervously as the rustling grew louder and I gripped my container of bear spray tightly. It stepped out of the woods and... it was just a deer. Or, more specifically, it was the deer. The same one that Sam and I had encountered. Now that she had pointed it out, I could see what she was saying. The deer had no issues approaching me. It was scrawny, walked slowly, but like it had a bit too much to drink. And it was definitely drooling. I jumped up and waved my arms around for it to go away. I knew it was sick, and the poor thing was confused and probably suffering, but it creeped me the hell out. It cocked its head, seeming to be studying at me, looking me up and down. It approached me and made some sort of gasping sound. It was opening and closing its mouth in a way which deeply unsettled me for some reason. Sam! She came running towards me from the woods, and when I turned my back, it was gone. Are you okay? What happened? The creepy deer is back. I know it sounds silly, but I think it's been following us. I told her how it's been behaving. Do you think it's rabid? Poor baby, she said sympathetically. Probably. Or I wonder if it has CWD. Either way, we should probably let the park rangers know just in case. We had decided that we would stick together, but after a few miles, she ended up ahead of me again. She tends to inch forward to get pictures where I tend to walk past signs, then have regrets and double back to take pictures. I had walked back a bit and was sitting down angling my phone weirdly to try and fit a scene in front of me in the frame, and I hear Sam's voice, but I couldn't make out what she was saying. "Hey, I'll be right there," I said, my voice raised slightly, assuming that she was talking to me. Then she screamed. Sam? I stood up and tried to walk as quickly and as carefully as possible. Her scream changed from fear to agony, and it sounded as if she was sobbing. I wasn't sure what happened, but I could tell she was scared and likely hurt. I suddenly realized I was still holding on to the only canister of bear spray. Against my better judgment, I started running as fast as I could, and for a while I was making good time. But then my left foot landed on a patch of soft dirt at the edge of the trail, and my ankle rolled, and I was falling. I don't remember hitting the ground, but I remember opening my eyes flat on my back about 15 feet below from where I had been standing. It was also dark outside. We started hiking at least 6 or 7 hours before sunset. I tried to stand, but it was a struggle. I was confused, disoriented. Trying to get up was taking all of my energy and my focus. I had a deep feeling of dread that I could not explain. As I started slowly moving upwards on my hands and knees, I tried to recall what had happened leading up to the fall. Sam sounded hurt. She was screaming. I had to run after her, and then I fell. Shit. Sam! I called her name. My voice was hoarse, with no response. My phone was surprisingly only minorly damaged, but I had no reception. I started digging through it. We had a first aid kit, but I figured I could patch myself up later. I didn't want to stay down here any longer than I had to. I found my knife and my headlamp. After about 20 minutes, I had slowly and painfully ascended back towards where I had fallen from. My hands were raw, and I could feel my right knee bleeding through my pants. I was trying to go slowly, as I trusted my feet even less now, and dizziness was starting to creep in. But panic and fear drove me forward. Once I made it back to the trail, I had to sit for a moment. I heard rustling behind me and felt a sudden pang of fear. Something or someone had injured Sam. And here I was, sitting alone, injured with my back to the woods, in the dark. I tried calling her name in case it was her that I heard, but still, no response. I stood up and started limping as quickly as possible towards the direction that I had last heard her scream. Luckily, the sound had evened out because I could feel myself weaving unsteadily. I knew that something terrible may have happened to her, but I kept trying to keep that thought out of my mind. As my calls to her remained unanswered, and it became harder to imagine the scenario in which that she was okay, I felt my throat tighten and tears rolling down my cheeks. I kept looking for her. I knew she wouldn't just leave me here. I think a part of me knew then that she was gone. She would have been searching for me if she was okay. And even if she did leave to go find help, I think they would have found me by now. Somehow, eventually I navigated my way to where I thought she had last been. I was hoping maybe if she was injured, she was okay and just out of it and confused like I was. My foot caught in the mud and I fell. Lights flashed behind my eyelids and I felt overcome with nausea. The light from my headlamp was greatly dimmed, as it was now coated in mud and grime. I heard movement behind me. And the smell hit me, and I realized the mud was dirt mixed with blood. I could taste it, mixed with the gritty texture. Leaves covered with what was likely blood stuck to my face, and I felt something soft and wet under my shoulder. The rustling behind me became discernible as footsteps. I felt around for my knife, my bear spray, but instead I felt something hard and sticky. I was certain I had just found out what had happened to Sam, and had a good guess as to what was about to happen to me. I felt no urge to get up as the footsteps had gotten closer. I closed my eyes, trying to focus on something, anything else, not knowing if I wanted to see what was coming for me. The footsteps then stopped, and I could hear labored breathing coming from above me. I waited, and as no blows came, I opened my eyes. It was Sam. She stood over me, breathing heavily from her mouth. She was covered in blood. Her shirt and pants were torn, but she was alive. I let out a relieved sob, and I could no longer hold back my tears. "Oh my God," I whispered, as I slowly moved to sitting and then standing. "I thought that I lost you." I pulled her close to me into a hug. She stood motionless, her arms at her side. She stuck to me to where her shirt was still a bit wet. Dried blood covered the neck of her shirt and her midsection. Her hands, and unsettlingly, her mouth, were also smeared in blood. I could still hear her breathing heavily into my ear. "What happened?" I asked as I released her. She stared at me but did not respond. I figured she was a bit traumatized. Frankly, I wasn't sure how she was up and standing at all after whatever had happened. She was a bit wobbly, but outside of that, she seemed able to walk. As we walked towards the car, she fell behind me, which made me nervous as I didn't want to let her out of my sight. She stopped and kept looking over her shoulder as I tried to get her to continue forward. Eventually, which felt like forever, we finally made it back. My ankles were killing me, but I tried to move as fast as possible. Although the woods were eerily silent, I wanted to get out of there as fast as possible. When we got back to her car, I was debating if we should drive ourselves to the hospital or call 911. I had this feeling of terror that I could not shake. I pictured us making it all the way back to the car and then something broke the windows attacking us. I decided that we needed to leave now. "Do you have your keys? Do you think that you could drive?" I asked. She had an old Jeep pickup and was very sensitive about letting people drive her baby. Plus, I wasn't sure I could drive with my ankle the way it was. She said nothing and cocked her head at me. "I know. We look like we've been mauled by a bear," I caught myself and winced, feeling suddenly insensitive. She clearly had been attacked by something or someone. When she said nothing, displayed no emotion or reaction, I cautiously continued. "But I have a bad feeling. I think we need to leave, like, right now. I'd rather call for help when we're back on the main road, or just drive straight to the hospital. She remained motionless, staring back into the woods, and I wondered if she had lost her keys in whatever struggle that she had. Luckily, I had her spare with me. I unlocked the doors, and she continued to stand outside. I realized I would need to push my ankle a bit more because she was far too out of it to drive. I slid into the car, but she remained motionless. "Sam, get in, please. Something is out here still, please." She was licking her lips, staring back at me. In the darkness, her blue eyes looked almost black. I limped back out of the seat and opened the door for her and helped guide her in. I buckled her in after she made no move to do so herself. As we drove and headlights of passing cars illuminated the interior, I kept checking on her out of the corner of my eye. She was breathing in and out with her mouth and staring at me. I noticed now, in the better light, that she was drooling.
Hey, what are you doing?
No response, but she began opening and closing her mouth and making a weird gasping sound as she was breathing in and out. Her breath reeked and her teeth were tinged pink. I don't have much medical knowledge, but I was worried that she had a punctured lung due to the strange sounds that she was making. Hold tight, we're about 20 minutes away from a hospital. Despite my ankle, I drove as fast as I could, and we made it in 10. As we pulled up, I helped guide her out of the car and walked behind her, steadying her. I noticed something. Her shirt was inside out, and it hadn't been this morning. Likely because of how we looked, they found us rooms immediately in the ER. I had a bad sprain and a concussion, and would need a few stitches. But it felt so good just to be out of those woods. I asked the nurse who came to check in on me how Sam was doing. I mentioned what I had noticed about her shirt, and that we may have encountered a sick animal, just in case any of this would help. When he returned, he was clearly distressed. Sam was gone. She hadn't appeared to be outwardly injured, strangely, but they had wanted to assess for internal trauma. However, the first moment that they had left her alone, she had simply just walked out, judging by the bloody footprints. It's been weeks, and I haven't seen Sam since, and her mother hasn't either. She has been working with the police out here. They think Sam had a head wound, and is just confused and will turn up in the town eventually. But a few days ago, I heard on the news that a partial skeleton was found on the trail that we were on. Likely the victim of an animal attack, they said. And due to the condition of the body, they were asking for leads so they could use dental records to help identify the victim. This might sound crazy, but I think it's her that they found. I don't know how to explain it, but I don't think Sam ever left the woods that night. It's my fault. I don't know what that thing was that I drove in the town. If you live in southern Colorado, be safe. I'm sorry. Well, I hope that you guys enjoyed the story tonight. If you did, please subscribe, click the bell, and smash that thumbs up. And like always, spread me like butter. Yeah. Have a good night, and stay spooky.